required to be sent to the BPPVE, which then had the right to come in and determine whether there was monetary sanctions that were required, or even, which is the ultimate sanction, decertifying the school. So there's one example where there's duplication of state board and BPPVE. Instructor's license, that was another issue of concern. The reason why the industry had problems with the idea of the state board setting minimum qualifications upon all beauty instructors is because currently private beauty colleges have to meet the certification procedures and requirements set by the BPPVE. Community colleges don't have to. So while community colleges may have no problem with the state board now requiring a state board license for instructors, this would require a situation in which private beauty college instructors would have to do two different sets of requirements. So if you're going to discuss minimum qualifications that the state board sets on all beauty instructors, you need to take consideration the BPPVE's current cert process. And maybe you can do something in lieu of that. We're open to that. But don't make more duplication.
So, Mr. Jones, so you're saying that this board should be sunsetted?
Let me say this. The jury's out. I'm a lawyer, so I'll start every answer with "it depends." I think it's clear, and the governor has made it clear, that unless drastic change happens with the state board, he will allow it to sunset. And my understanding, Mr. Howard, is unless the legislature affirmatively extends the sunset and the governor signs, then it'll die. So he's in the cat seat, as it were. And I think the message the administration has clearly delivered to this board, I mean, I'll tell you on fact finding if you want to do it, look at the first 7 meetings of this board meeting. You had Department of Consumer Affairs director personally coming down to the state board and saying, why are you spending this entire meeting fighting the Southern California testing facility? They spent 7 months fighting that testing facility and the lease that was signed. 7 months dedicated to that single fight. When they had SB 360 passed, giving them 7 clear mandates to study. And what did they do with most of those? They convened a one single day task force, handpicked, by the way, by the board president, and really did nothing with each of those requirements. And in some cases, like reciprocity, actually increased the burden on those wanting to move to California and join our economy. So I would encourage this legislative body to look fact-finding what this board has done to date, because it's been, so long-winded answer is, I think the legislature needs to send some clear messages, further mandates on issues like booth renting, on issues like state-to-state reciprocity. Clear, not just study. This is what we want, because anything ambiguous evidently won't lead to anything real. And let me give one final example of what we've been pitching for. You've heard a lot about the expense of administering the exam. 35,000 exams are given each year in California. It's a lot of exams. And consequently, a lot of staff resources are dedicated to administering the exam. Here's an idea. Let's adopt a national exam. That removes the need to constantly update our own exam, which isn't being constantly updated over a decade and a half. Let's keep computer-based testing, which, by the way, our organization originally fought. We were concerned about our students using computers. It has proven to be wildly successful. And let's allow schools to administer the practical portion of the exam in-house. Let the board administer, through computer-based testing, the written, which has most of the health and safety provisions. That would save all sorts of money. It would incredibly remove the backlog. If you fail the exam currently being administered by the private company Experior, computer-based testing, they could have you in the very next week to retake that exam. So there's an idea for you to consider. The schools, by the way, the private schools, they're certified by the Bureau of Private Postsecondary and they're approved by the state board. Their curriculum is totally dictated by the state board. So if they're doing their job, they should be able to proctor the practical exam. Almost the last half of a 1,600-hour cosmetology program is solely dedicated to practical demonstration skills and learning. So it's clear that is what the schools do best. So let schools proctor the practical exam. Let the state administer the written exam. Give them the authority to adopt the national exam. And let's move forward. I don't want to see this board sunset it, but drastic change has to happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Next.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, Shane Gussman on behalf of the United Food and Commercial Workers. We have members who are licensees of the board. I would just say, general, I don't have specific issues that were raised during the committee hearing, but I would say generally that our organization strongly supports that this board move forward despite the deficiencies that were identified by you and your staff. I think those are issues that need to be addressed, certainly. But I don't think they get addressed by letting this board go away and becoming a bureau, because I think that moves us a step backwards. I think what we have here is a board that was reconstituted, and then we have a new administration that's openly hostile to the board and other boards. And it's not surprising that boards like this that are traditionally staff-driven have not come to you and asked for budget change proposals to get more investigators, more money, amending the law to help them regulate further, because that is not what this administration wants to do. And so,
with all due respect, that's not true.
Okay.
Because there's been many boards that have come to us, and the administration has worked with us in making sure that those boards and commissions become stronger. So that's not the reason. I mean, I understand that there was, because I'm the one who's fought for the continuance of these boards, because there's some boards like this one that haven't been doing what they should. So everybody got caught up in that discussion of the ones that were performing, not performing. But after we were able to get rid of some boards this time that are not doing their job, and so I think what we needed to do is to go back and find out specifically the ones that were performing and the ones that were not.
Sure, I understand we disagree on that.
We disagree on that issue.
I would say that obviously you've identified health issues that are significant to the public that need to be addressed. And certainly, at least with a board, they come before you every couple of years and you find out what's going on. Bureau, sometimes maybe they only come before the budget subcommittee and they discuss issues of cost. And sometimes
well, you're right
they don't
on
get
that.
Into specific
yeah,
issues.
Yeah, and it's been the issue, what you're saying is what I have said continuously, is that it was the transparency that mm-hmm. we really believe that the boards do a better job in allowing the average constituent and consumers to know what's going on, for the public participation, for the professionals to really engage. But if they're not doing that, then there is no transparency. There's nothing happening. And so we just have to ascertain if the Department of Consumer Affairs could do a better job. Right. And in some cases, I mean, we're going to have a hearing tomorrow on a situation where the Bureau is not helping. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the conclusion is that we have to look at each and every one of them on an individual basis.
Sure. Sure. Well, I agree with that, and I think that the transparency is something our organization supports, and that's why we believe that this board should not be sunsetted, and that's our position.
Okay, thank you. Next.
Good afternoon. My name is Leanne Patterson. I'm a member of the public, and I'm here as an advocate on behalf of my son as well as other students who are in a similar situation. I appreciate you listening to me, Madam Chairman, and members of the committee. The issue that I wanted to address deals with examination scoring and subsequent licensing. It's my understanding that a few years ago, the board did away with aggregate scoring for the cosmetology students. While they attempted to do the same with the barbering students, they were unsuccessful, so aggregate scoring remains in place for the barbers. As a result of doing away with aggregate scoring and giving each student a required minimum passing score in both the practical exam and the written exam, the pass rates dropped significantly. From my understanding, it dropped approximately 30%. As a result, the board came together 2.5, 3 years ago and discussed some of these concerns, the fact that this was also resulting in increased unlicensed activity, and developed a task force in November, December of 2003 to look at this issue. And rather than return to aggregate scoring, it was the task force recommendation that students who did well in the practical exam, particularly in the areas of client protection and safety and disinfection and sanitation, would be allowed up to 5 points to allocate from that practical exam toward the written exam. So if they missed the written exam by from 1 to 5 points, they would still be eligible to pass so long as they did well in those portions in the practical exam. My son meets this very criteria. He did well in his practical exam, particularly in those two areas, and has taken the written exam, and on two occasions, he's taken the written exam 5 times now. Twice missed passing by 1 point. Got a 69 with a required score of 70. In February of 2005, the task force brought these proposed regulations to the board. The board approved the proposed regulations, but it's been 10 months now, and the regulations still have not been implemented. I attended board meetings here in Sacramento in August. I went to Los Angeles and attended board meetings also in October. Mr. Hedges, actually, the gentleman who spoke to you earlier and who is a member of the board, actually advocated for students such as my son and expressed concern that it was taking so long to get the regulations implemented. The board did, in fact, agree to make the regulations retroactive upon implementation, and legal counsel informed them that could be done so long as language was prepared and put for public comment. My concern is that I've been in constant communication with the board, wondering why it's taking so long, and a board meeting which was supposed to occur next Sunday to implement these the retroactive language now has been canceled. I've been told it's been postponed until January. January is going to be coming. There's going to be a new president, a new executive director. My concern is that this is just going to go in ad infinitum and never get passed and go beyond the deadline. Some of my other concerns, which I've addressed to the board, which haven't been accurately or adequately responded to, is that California statutory law states specifically Business and Professions Code Section 7338 reads that in the conduct and grading of examinations, practical demonstrations shall prevail over written tests. I don't believe they're in compliance by requiring this minimum 70 score in the written exam. Business and Professions Code 7341 also allows a student the right to inspect an examination if the written examination was not passed. I've made several requests that my son be allowed to inspect his examinations. That apparently is not allowed, and they haven't even responded to me as far as why it's not allowed. Since going to computer-based testing, they say it's no longer allowed, yet the statutory law provides for such. So part of my son's problem, and you talked about this at length during your meeting earlier, was this excessive delay between examinations. There was not same-day testing allowed when he sat for his first exam, so he had to wait 6 months before he was allowed to take his first written exam. 6 months out of school, the information becomes stale. There are no review courses available for students who need to repeatedly take the exam. My concern is that there are a lot of graduates out there who have demonstrated excellent practical ability, an understanding of client protection and safety, and yet because they've missed the written test by 1 or 2 points, they are unable to obtain a license. So my request is that the legislature somehow require that the board set this as a priority issue, which is what I was told it was. I was told it was a priority issue, and that these regulations actually be implemented before the deadline passes and it becomes too late.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ma'am?
Excuse me.
Did you submit any written comments outlining the substance of your testimony to us?
I did not today. I didn't even know about this meeting until this morning, last night.
If you were able to write down the gist of your testimony.
I have corresponded with the governor's office, the Department of Consumer Affairs on several occasions, and I keep getting referred back to the board, which is where I'm having a difficulty.
On those code sections you referenced specifically.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Would the board like to come back and respond or make any comments?
Hey, Mr. Howard, in my 12-page report, those are quoted, those code sections, under aggregation.
Well, the inspection one is? The inspection?
No, that's 9341. Sorry, it's just three code sections later.
May I stand?
Yes.
I can't be more in agreement. We had a December meeting scheduled, and unfortunately the newer members of our board could not make it, and one of our older members could not make it, so we were not going to have a quorum, so we canceled it. This needs to be pushed forward. I agree very much and feel very strongly about it. It's something that we worked on. We had the working group that reviewed this. There was a great deal of public comment on this issue, and that's how we arrived at this solution for aggregate scoring, and I think it would help most of the people that are in the position that this lady's son is in.
Okay, thank you. One additional question. I don't know if you were here earlier this morning, but some of the other boards have addressed one of our concerns about putting disciplinary actions on websites. Has your board considered putting the disciplinary actions to various salons or individuals on a website so that the consumer is aware?
Actually, I think that's available. Is that not available? Yeah.
You're working on it. Is that what you said?
Yes.
You're working on it.
And someone can call the office and find out as well.
Yeah, but nowadays most people, you know, kind of look into it.
But no, I think it's a very good idea also. I actually thought it had been implemented. So.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
That's it, huh? Okay. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Our committee is now adjourning, and we will be meeting with the Department of Consumer Affairs, taking their recommendations into consideration, and this committee will reconvene in, be reestablished in January. January, correct? January, beginning of February, and then we will take up the recommendations and vote on the various boards. Thank you very much.